Can you drink the chalice? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend fathers and dear children for our day of recollection. Children, how often have you been told by your parents or in class by your teachers, you're not listening? Well, today the tables are turned. It's a bunch of grown-ups who aren't listening, and they're acting like children, fighting among themselves, I mean. And nobody is listening to our Lord, and he had such an important thing to say. And there's one mother in particular who was unusually pushy, and she pushed past the others. And she goes up to Jesus and she says, say that my two boys get to have the reserved seating, the best seats in the house. I want my boys to be at your right and at your left on thrones in your kingdom. But she hadn't listened to what our Lord had just told all of them. The apostles heard this part, though, about what her plans were. All of a sudden, they were listening. Were you listening just now when I read the gospel? Very important start. Look, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests and scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and the third day he shall rise again. But nobody heard our Lord. They were all thinking of something else. That must have made our Lord sad. Here he was talking about these important things, and they were just plotting or arguing about who gets to go first, about who gets to be first. Well, our Lord says to the mother, he says, Mrs. Zebedee, sorry, but I'm not in charge of that. My Father is, about where you get to sit in the kingdom. But now that you've brought it up, then he turns to the boys. He's not talking to mom anymore. He's talking to James and John, and he says, now that you brought it up, can you drink the chalice? Now, what does that mean? Well, you know, at Mass, the chalice of wine with a little water is consecrated to our Lord's precious blood, and only Father, the celebrant of the Mass, actually drinks the chalice. But you know that we all receive, when we go to Holy Communion, the precious blood of our Lord, only we don't see it because we only see the sacred host. But truly, it is our Lord's blood we receive as well as his body when we go to communion. And in that sense, we drink the chalice. But that's not what our Lord is talking about today. Drink the chalice is an old expression the Jews had amongst themselves. And it meant share in my sufferings. When we receive Holy Communion, we share in our Lord's passion and in his death. But if we live as Christians, we're always drinking the chalice. We're always sharing in his sufferings, and Holy Communion should make us strong enough to suffer with Christ and suffer for Christ. But to drink the chalice means something else, too. It means to share Christ's destiny, his fate, what's going to become of him. We thought about this a little bit this morning when we prayed the rosary together, the first sorrowful mystery. Father, let this chalice pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. So our Lord, what causes him to be in an agony there in the garden? He sees everything he's going to suffer. That's bad enough. It was terrible. Then he sees all of the sins of the world and he feels the weight of them pushing him down to the ground. But there's more. Our Lord tastes the bitter dregs of this chalice of suffering that's filled with the sins of the world. How could he even, did you ever try to drink something that tasted terrible? And you, oh, it's a horrible taste. How could you ever get it down? How could you ever keep it down? That's what made our Lord fall down to the ground when he prayed. And he was all covered with sweat. He was wet with the sweat. And then the sweat turned to blood. And all of a sudden, he was all covered with blood. Now, the two brothers, James and John, they were there, not that far away from our Lord. But they had fallen asleep. The apostles do a lot of sleeping in the gospel. But that's to warn us to be awake and to stay with Christ and to help him. Now, John does wake up. He's the youngest, so he stands for you who are young. He's the youngest. And he wakes up, and he's with Christ for all the rest of his passion, standing next to the Blessed Mother and helping her out. At the end, we thought about this morning during the rosary too, at the end our Lord on the cross cries out, "Sitio, I'm thirsty." Just before he dies, he says, "I'm thirsty." Remember what happened? The soldier takes a sponge and he puts it in the chalice that they have, or a cup of wine that they were drinking. And he puts it in on the spear and he up to our Lord's lips. And our Lord drinks it to symbolize that now he has drunk the chalice. He has fulfilled his Father's will, his destiny, his fate to die for our sins. And that's why our Lord can say, "It is finished." And he bows his head and he gives up the ghost. His soul leaves and goes to limbo. It was the Father's will that our Lord should die for our sins. In other words, that he takes our punishment. So in the gospel, our Lord explains this to the apostles a little bit. He says, he hears her fighting. So he says, "Come over here. Come over here, the other ten, come on." And then he explains how it is. He said, for powerful kings, they lord it over everybody else, and they make everyone else do their will and serve them and everything. But look, he says, if you're with me, I'm serving you. I'm your servant. I'm taking care of you. I've come to save you. It's a bit like the work that your parents or your priests or teachers do for you. It's a little bit the lesson of the washing of the feet on Maundy Thursday. In other words, you do have to be respectful and you have to do what you're told because you're kids. But really, we're here to take care of you. And your parents do in so many ways, all day, every day, don't they? They have to drink the cup, which means they have to take care of the problems and the worries and the pains. And guess what, children? You will too. One day, you'll grow up, and I hope all of you will drink the chalice with Jesus. In other words, that you'll stay with him, and that you'll help him and participate in his sufferings. Of course, sometimes children, even the children who make the Day of Recollection during Lent, do grow up to be bad, and that's enormously sad. And I always think of them and say a prayer for them on our recollection day every year. But I hope you won't. And you know what? You won't grow up to be bad. Not if you want to drink our Lord's chalice. And that's really all you need to worry about. Lord, I love you. And yes, I'm going to drink your chalice. I'm going to share your sufferings. I'm going to help you out. And then God the Father, he takes care of the throne part and the kingdom and the reward. So we don't have to worry about it. Not yet. In the meantime, our Lord is helping us. He's our helper, he's our teacher, he's our priest, and he's a little bit, this is a stretch, but it's true, our Lord is a little bit like our coach. He guides us, and he corrects us, he sees our potential, He knows you've got some talent buried in there somewhere. So he encourages you and he shows you how to do it. He says, now, take the sword, and if you're going to duel or if you're going to go fencing, then hold it this way and don't hold it that way. That's exactly how our Lord is preparing us. He inspires us not to give up, but to keep on trying. And our Lord, this is very important, never says to us, what's the use? You're hopeless. Our Lord would never, ever say that to us because he's God and he knows all things any more than he did with the apostles. They made lots of mistakes, didn't they? It's a remarkable thing if you think of it. St. Peter, he tried to keep our Lord from going to the Passion, and when the suffering started, he panicked and he denied and he swore that he didn't even know our Lord. And he was St. Peter. And then St. Thomas, he wouldn't believe the other apostles on Easter that he had risen from the dead. And he said, look, see this hand, mine? I'm going to put it in his side. This finger, I'm going to put it in his wounds. And if I can't, I won't believe. And all the rest, as we saw today, they were always worrying about who was going to be able to get ahead and what was fair and what wasn't fair, fighting among themselves. Who gets to go first? Remind you of anybody you know? But to go first for Jesus means to drink the chalice, to be humble. It means to get hurt. It's like our Lord says, my son, if you help me to carry my cross, watch out. Some of the thorns from my crown of thorns, they may scratch you. They may make it bleed. And that cross has got splinters. They may get into your skin. If you come close to me, be ready to suffer for me and with me and not mine. Well, finally, when the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, all of those apostles, they grew up and they became themselves very great saints and they converted the whole world. Jesus never gave up on them and our Lord never gives up on us. And so today, think about what it is, what it means for you to follow our Lord. Can you drink my chalice? Can you share my sufferings? And our Lord answers for us. He says, he looks at us, he says, yes, my chalice indeed you shall drink. Well, good there. That's settled now, isn't it? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.